He knows you too well. It's good to have Brother Henson here, Kelly Henson here with us tonight. And Lord willing, all week, and unless the Lord calls us home before then, that'd be better. Yeah. He's from, for those of you that haven't been here this past weekend, he's a pastor at Landmark Sovereign Grace Baptist Church in Fort Worth, Texas. I guess that's the only church you've pastored, right? Been there. That's the only church you've pastored, right?
The only church I've ever pastored.
Yeah. Been there a long time.
1977.
1977, when did they? January 77. Okay. So, he was my pastor when I was in Texas. One of my pastors in Texas. The last pastor I had in Texas, I should say. So, he's been a good friend for a long time. And we've been trying to get him up here. And he finally met Brother Doug, and I think that's what done it. Them two guys, just you can't separate them when they're together. So, Brother, come ahead. Put your water up here.
Yeah. Okay. Looked like somebody had done that before with a leaking bottle. Well, I don't know if Brother Doug convinced me or not, but he might have had a small part in it. I met him out in Idaho. He encouraged me to go to Idaho and preach out there for Brother Paul. And we had a wonderful time together there this last year. It wasn't so wonderful when I got home, but it was wonderful being out there and preaching and rejoicing in the Lord with those brethren. They love to sing. Is that right, Brother Doug? They love to sing. And I do too. I just can't. I wish I could. But they play all manner of musical instruments. And so does he. Wow. Well, I appreciate the invite. I really do. I thank God for Brother Steve, for the church here. It's been around a while. I've heard about it for a long time. And it's a great privilege to be here. Good to see some folks that I've met before. In Idaho, Brother Stepp, I met him in Idaho, I believe, for the first time. And Brother Doug, I met for the first time out there, I believe. I can't remember when I first met him. In Texas? Yeah, down at Joey's, right? Yeah, and you encouraged me from Joey when we were down there together to go out and see and visit with Brother Paul. But we had a great time in both places. And if you ever get an opportunity, if the Lord ever affords you the opportunity to go to Idaho, to that precious church that belongs to the Lord Jesus out there, I would encourage you to go. You will have a blessed time in the Lord. You'll hear some great preaching, because he don't have nothing out there until he asks me, but great preachers. And I kind of ruined his record, I think. But anyway, we had a great time, and we had a good time preaching. And I praise the Lord for the opportunity to be there and to be here. And so that's about all that I can say about that. But turn with me tonight to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verse 45. We read the words of the Lord Jesus. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Now then, if you would turn with me to the 53rd chapter, or to the 52nd chapter of Isaiah. We'll read a couple of verses from the 52nd chapter, which kind of introduces the 53rd chapter. In verse 13, we read the words of God. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and be extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred, more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him, for that which hath not been told them they shall see, and that which they have not heard shall they consider. Chapter 53 and verse 1. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him like a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he had borne our grief and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. But he was bruised by our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He brought his lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare a generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. He made his grave with the wicked, and was rich in his death, because he had done no violence. Neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. For he hath put him to grief. When he shall make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquity. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. That has to do something with our inheritance that we talked about last night. He has divided the spoil with the strong. Because he hath poured out his soul unto death, he was numbered with his transgressors. He bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. What a great passage of Scripture. In my estimation, there's not a more important subject or a person to be studied by the children of God than the Lord Jesus Christ. The servant of Jehovah. That's who he's talking about in chapter 52. Behold my servant. He's talking about his son. I want to start our study tonight by looking at his ancestry. If we're going to study about this man who was God manifest in the flesh, let's look at his ancestry. Where did he come from? Did he just was born of the Virgin Mary and came into the world? No, I don't believe so. I submit to you that there was never a moment in eternity when there was not such a man as Jesus Christ. He was the Son of God long before Mary ever became impregnated by the Holy Spirit. In eternity past, he was there. Or as another preacher has said, in old eternity. I don't know if it's an old eternity and a new eternity or not, but that sounds pretty good, you know. An old eternity. Old eternity. Yeah. In eternity past, he was there. You know? He existed as the Son of God. You know? He didn't become the Son of God when he was born of the Virgin Mary. He was already the Son of God. And praise his holy name for that. Yeah. For instance, in John 17 and verse 5, he says, and this, you know, this is his high priestly prayer that he prays. And he says, "Oh, Father, now, oh, Father." Well, that's Luke. I think it's John over here. "And now, oh, Father, glorify thou me with the glory with thy own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." Huh? That was a long time ago. Yeah. Yeah. That was older than me, Brother Steve. Yeah. Yeah. A long time ago. Yeah. He prayed for the Father to restore that glory to him that he had with the Father before he was ever born to the Virgin Mary. Yeah. Colossians 1, verse 5. Colossians 1, verse 5. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 is where it is. Well, let's back up a little bit so it's very clear who he's talking about in verse 15. "Give him thanks," verse 12, "unto the Father, who hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Verse 15, "who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature." Now, how can we have an image of something that's invisible? Huh? Nobody but God Almighty could do that. You know, you couldn't do it. Huh? John couldn't do it. Paul couldn't do it. But God could do it. Yeah. 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 So, he's always been the Son of God. Oh, what a privilege that we have to know that. The Scriptures tell us that he was in the beginning. Yeah. He was in the beginning. You know, whenever the beginning was, I don't know. Not that I doubt very seriously if you do either. Huh? But you might. John 1 and 1 says, "the Word was made flesh." No, that's 14. John 1 and 1 said, "the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." Yeah. Without him was not anything made that was made. And way over in 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life." That's the same word that John wrote about in verse, chapter 1 and verse 1 that we just read a while ago. "And the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, showing to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us." He was with the Father before he was ever born. Yeah. Four times in the writings of John and in the revelation of Jesus Christ, he says, "I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending." Yeah. Yeah. saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Huh? And you can find that in chapter 1 and verse 8, verse 11, chapter 21 and verse 6, and 22:13. Huh? Four times he assures us that he's always been. Amen. I tell you what, we praise his name tonight that he's always been here. The scriptures also declare to us in Hebrews 1:3 that he's the brightness of the Father's glory and the express image of his person. Yeah. The express image of his person. Like Father, like Son. In John chapter 14, verse 7. John 14 and verse 7. He said to the disciples, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. From henceforth, you know him and have seen him. And Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. Show us the Father, we'll be satisfied with that. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the work. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Yeah? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Huh? I am the express image of him. Yeah. Colossians. Verse 2 and verse 9. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Yeah. The fullness of the Godhead bodily. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The fullness of the Godhead dwells in him, in his body. He wasn't no weak, spineless individual going around begging for food. No. He made manna fall from heaven to feed the Israelites. He wasn't no beggar. No. He had the fullness of Almighty God in him. And he still does. Yeah. So, that's his ancestry. He's always been here. Yeah. He'll always be here. There'll never be a time when there will not be a Christ, the Son of God. Yeah. His humiliation, his incarnation. Yeah. He became to be humiliated the moment he came forth from the womb. No greater, more glorious event in the history of the world than that which happened that night. That, you know, Gabriel came to visit Mary in Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 and verse 31. Well, let's back. Verse 30, the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Wow. Did she ever find favor with God? The only woman in the world that ever has been or ever will be that found so much favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever and ever. His kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be? How in the world is this going to happen? I've never known a man. The angel answered, said, the Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. He'll be called the Son of God because that's who he was. Always, that's who he was. And I don't believe there's been a more glorious event in our history, in the history of mankind, than that divine incarnation of Jesus Christ. Yeah. When he was in his mother's womb, he was Jesus, the Son of God. He was the Christ. Yeah. I don't know how, you know, how the Holy Spirit did that. I don't need to know. He's God. He'd do whatever God pleases to do. Gabriel was speaking of the union of the nature of Christ to that of the Son of Man. Oh, what a blessing. Jesus. This is exactly what John's right about in his gospel. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth. Yeah. John, the Baptist, he looked up and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, that taketh away the sin of the world. Behold, the Lamb of God." Oh, what a word that behold is. And we'll talk about that more during the week. The Word was made flesh. Isaiah 7:14, the Holy Virgin shall conceive and bear son. And his name shall be called Emmanuel. Yeah. Emmanuel. In John, or in Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. In which we find in Matthew chapter 1 that this word means God with us. Yeah. He's with us tonight. I believe he's in this building tonight. I believe he'll be here every night unless we sin against him, we blaspheme him or something. He'll disappear from here. But I'm going to pray that he does not, that we are unable to blaspheme him in this meeting, that we would exalt him, that every word that we speak would be to exalt him and who he is and why he came into this wicked world, what happened to him. He's here. The Word was made flesh. Philippians 2, 6 and 8. Yeah. Philippians. Paul writes to this dear bunch of brethren, said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." And then God highly exalted him and gave him a name above every name. Oh. This man, Jesus Christ, was God and man in the same body. He didn't have a God body and a man body. He had one body. And it was as much God as it was man. And as much man as it was God. But he took part of us. He took part of our nature. The only part, I think, that he didn't take was the blood part of man's nature. Why? Because the blood part was wicked. It was corrupted, tainted with sin. And he did not have that. He had his own blood, the blood of God, flowing in his veins. Powerful stuff. Precious stuff, Peter said. Precious blood. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also likewise took part of the same. You get that? Part of the same. Not all of it, just part of it. He left the blood out of it. That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. He knows what you're going through. He does. And he cares. I saw a song on the internet today. It was a brother's favorite hymn. And one of mine too. Does Jesus care? Oh, yes, he cares. And he can care because of who he is. Because he's the God-man. The God-man. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son. How could he send forth the Son if he didn't exist until he was born? For the Virgin Mary. He sent forth his Son. That's what he says in Galatians 4:4. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth the Son, made of the law, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. His two natures were so united that if his human nature could have sinned, God could have sinned. But that's an absolute. You know, there's not too many absolutes around anymore. But right here in this book, we can find some absolutes. And that's one of them. He could not sin. I remember when the Lord first saved me and called me to preach, I heard guys talk about, well, he could sin, but he didn't. He didn't want to. Why did he not want to? He couldn't. He was holy. Just. No iniquity found in him. No guile found in his mouth. He was holy. He's always been holy. He always will be holy. And I long to see that holy face. One of these days. Could be tonight. Brother Doug, it could be tonight. We could see our blessed Savior in all of His glory. And that brother won't have to ride around in that thing no more. I won't need to get an attachment to my automobile where I can ride around in mine. And I'd sure be happy about that. But if he wants us to hang around a while, he'll wait a while. He's not going to tarry. You ever hear a preacher talk about if Jesus tarries, we'll do this and do that. He's not going to tarry. He will not tarry. He will come at God's appointed time. Amen. But that's another subject. Anyway, no greater person ever walked the face of God's earth than this man, this God man. And he walked it, and he walked it, and was persecuted beyond belief. And if you don't have any faith, you wouldn't believe how badly he was treated in this wicked world. Yeah. It was necessary for him to be Emmanuel. Absolutely necessary. If it wasn't absolutely necessary, the Father would never have sent him. But God sent him because it was absolutely necessary for him to come into this world. Yeah, he might do what God sent him to do, what he volunteered to do. Yeah. Which is described so vividly in this 53rd chapter of the prophet Isaiah. So vividly described the life and the torture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so we're, the Lord willing, we'll start tomorrow night with that. We just kind of wanted to give you a little introduction of some thoughts that we had about him tonight. Tomorrow night we'll begin with chapter 53. Well, we'll begin back with chapter 52, and we'll talk about those three verses there, and then we'll get into chapter 53. If you don't run me off, we'll stay in chapter 53 until Friday night. So you pray for us. We need you praying for us. We need strength from heaven. We need grace from God Almighty. Yeah. And so, God willing, we will endeavor with His help and by His amazing grace to exalt His Son. That's our primary purpose in preaching the Word of God, is to exalt His Son. And in doing so, perhaps revive the hearts of His people. If there's anything that will revive us, it'll be talking about the Lord Jesus. If that won't revive us, we're in bad shape. We need to be doing a lot of repenting if that won't revive you. So God help us. God bless you. We love you. I'm telling you how we love you. And we praise you. And thank you again for inviting us to come and for the hospitality that we've been shown by your pastor and his dear wife. What a joy to be around these two folks. And you know that as well as I do. And it's a joy to be around y'all too. You ought to know that by now. God bless you is our prayer. And we'll continue to pray for you. You continue to pray for us. Thank you, Brother Pastor, Church Owner.